Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keyes, or become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. Well, wow, I am so blessed today on many levels. I really want to say thank you to the audience for listening past almost close to 800,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you have enjoyed the shows and learned something from them and had a good time, and also supported the many artists I've had on, from writers, musicians, actors. They need your support. But I'm also blessed this morning because I have a wonderful writer on, but she's not here in America. She is all the way in Australia, and she stayed up super late to talk with me. So that is why I'm also blessed this morning. Roger Augustin, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So you are originally from America, but you left us. I'm sad.
Yes, work took us over first to London, where we lived for 3 years, and then after London, we had a choice between New York and Sydney, and my husband is originally from Sydney, and in the end, we decided to come to Sydney, which is a place that I've been visiting all the years that we've been together, so for the past 15 years, actually, and have loved it, and always knew that I'd probably end up here, so it just happened a little earlier than I expected.
Wow, so... It's what time? You said it's 1 o'clock in the morning there?
Yep, it's 1 in the morning now, which is 11 a.m. your time. Yeah, so it's
way
past my bedtime, but that's okay. It's a
Saturday
night.
Well, again,
night, thank you.
It's Saturday night, so
my
it's okay.
Yeah,
well,
it's okay. No work tomorrow, so we're good.
Good. I don't want to, you know, I don't want you cursing at me tomorrow saying, why did I stay up to talk to that old woman?
No, never. Yeah.
So you have been in the entertainment world for quite a bit. You worked on a lot of different shows, from BET Weekend Magazine, New York Daily News. You worked on 2020, Primetime. So now, why did you feel the need to go from there to writing your own book? What was the push? What was the catalyst that helped you make that transition?
Well, you know, there are two things. First, it was the birth of my children, because when we moved to London, I had my daughter, my eldest, who was 2 at the time. So I was a stay-at-home mom, and we had just moved. I moved countries, and I really loved to work, and I couldn't work at the time because I was home caring for my child. So I thought I want to write, and I've always loved to write. I've always returned to writing. It's something that I've done all through university. The other thing that really inspired me is at the time I was really getting into the TV drama series, particularly 6 Feet Under and the other stuff. It's really the golden age of television series, I think. And I just love, they just bring together two things that I love the most in terms of my professional life, and that's television and storytelling. And I started thinking to myself, I would really love to see a really quality, character-driven drama where the family at the heart of this story were African-American. And I realized that there were none. You know, we had comedies like The Cosby Show, which was great.
Right.
And we had sitcoms from the past, you know. But I've never seen a drama that didn't involve, you know, some sort of kind of common stereotype. And, you know, like that wasn't about poverty or crime or drugs or something. And where stories like that clearly have, you know, they're valid, they're strong stories, they're important ones. I was really interested in exploring a story where the family was African-American, where they were perhaps wealthy and were just grappling with everyday, you know, universal experiences.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because we don't see that. I mean, and I even have tweeted about the issue, like, I'm starving here, people. I need to see, you know, African Americans on the screen, because not that I have anything against anybody else of any other color, but unfortunately, well, here in America, and I think even abroad, there's it's either Caucasians or very light people, and I'm a light-skinned woman myself, so I have nothing against light-skinned women. I just want to put that. But it's just there's so much diversity in African Americans, from the color of their skin to the texture of their hair to the economic status to the types of careers they do. There is a lot more diversity now, and we don't see
that.
We still
you're
see.
You're like belief. That's
yes.
right.
Mm. Yeah.
I agree. Well, our stories vary tremendously across the board. You know, I mean, when you do see stories on television with African Americans or people of color, it's usually pretty negative, you know. And what I wanted to explore, I wanted to show that it was possible to have a narrative with a black family that wasn't about these sort of, you know, the same issues that we always see about legacies of slavery or about poverty or growing up in the ghetto. And I'm not downing those stories at all, but I think there's more. And I think television is such a powerful medium, as you know, and it's so influential. And I thought, if I can't, you know, because I work in television as a producer, I mainly did documentaries and news and things, but, you know, I've always wanted to move into drama. And I thought, if I can't do it on the screen now, I'm going to try to do it on paper.
In the book form.
And so this series, this is the first in a series of five I actually have planned, and I know the whole series already.
Oh, that's good. That's good, because
I
said to you before we even got on air, I said my first question is, when's the next book? Because I was totally drawn in, and I was even surprised by some. And I've read a lot of books. I mean, I've had a lot of authors on here, and you know, for me, for me to get sucked in, then I'm like, okay, this is a good book. And then I got surprised, like, what? Okay, that's not what I was expecting. And then to look forward to other things that could come about, that I imagine might come about in the future stories. Let's start with the main character, though. You know, she reminded me a lot of so many different people you see in the news. I don't want to give too much away, but she has a typical star drama, dealing with paparazzi, being away from her kids, you know, struggling marriage. And I felt so sad for her, especially with the marriage thing. I really was like, when is she going to wake up about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're right. She is a composite of all these larger-than-life divas that I love, actually, and admire, whose stories aren't always so glamorous. You know, they look like that on the surface. But, you know, Whitney was a big influence in the story.
Yes.
But there's also a bit of, you know, Madonna in there. There's a bit of Mariah. There's all these great divas who have incredible stories and are in the public eye and clearly and grapple with that, you know, and have issues. The other thing that I really wanted to explore as well is this whole prescription drug phenomenon in America is
that's really, a really big problem.
It's shocking to me. Yeah, and I've been out of the States for 8 years, and I go back every now and then, and I'm always really shocked coming back at how many people are on some prescription medication. I mean, it's for something as minor as, you know, restless leg syndrome or something. And you see celebrities who are dying from, you know, a cocktail of medication, not to mention the untold numbers that you don't know who you know, who are being
prescribed. Well, they have the wealth. They have the wealth to get the drugs. And another big thing is kids, teens, and prescription drugs. So they're no longer going out on the street. They're going to their parents' cabinets and taking the drugs. So they don't even have to pay for them. And because the parents are drugged up, then they don't know that the kids are drugged up. And so it's just this cycle, this you know, generational cycle of drug abuse, and it's undercover because it's prescription. So maybe it's not as bad, because I'm taking it for something I need help with. I mean, some people do need medication, though. I mean, Roger, I mean, we do have to admit there are some people who do need medication.
There are. But, you know, statistics recently, I've been reading things online about this. People are sort of analyzing the pattern of drug prescriptions and drug use in America and finding that the increase has been so exponential over the last, 30 or 40 years. And not only has the increase been so high, but the age group has also gotten younger. So kids as young as 10 are being prescribed for ADHD, when I'm thinking maybe try to cut out the sugar in their diet. You know, maybe that's the issue. It's not that they need a pill to calm them down. Maybe it's other things. I just find it fascinating that, it's something that happens in the public eye. You see it with celebrities, and I just wonder how many have to die before we stop and think about, how we're treating kind of, societal problems. We're just trying to treat everything with a pill.
Medicate it. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I just felt that, a story about a celebrity in the public eye, it had to include some kind of prescription pill medication. I just felt like you couldn't do it without. So that was the other thing. So part of her meltdown is because she's not in her right state of mind.
Yeah. Now, she's a mother and she's a wife. Now, you're a mother, you're a wife. I'm not sure if you're still traveling a lot, but you have traveled a lot, it seems, in your life. And how have you handled balancing taking care of your kids and the traveling? And did that come into the story at all? Because she has a nanny, and she does these photo ops, but she doesn't want the nanny in the picture, and, How do you balance all this?
It's very, very delicately. It's always a struggle. And any mom out there will know that trying to find that balance is a challenge with your kids, and making sure that you have their best interests at heart, but that those interests also mesh with your own interests as a person and human being, because at the end of the day, you're more than just a mother and a wife. You're also your own person that you were before you met your husband and before you had your children, and you don't necessarily want to give that person up. So, being with kids and traveling with them is hard. It's exhausting. And I think people who have the money to have nannies to help them do that are incredibly lucky, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's definitely amazing because, I mean, I didn't have a nanny, and I remember having to do, I used to be in theater and do things, and I felt bad. Like, you could be on the set for a film for 16 hours, and, it's tough. It's really tough. I think if you're engaged with your kids, So, now, you deal with another heavy topic. Which is one of the characters is in the closet. He's gay, but he's in a closet, and he's using another character as like a buffer, as a, yes, I'm straight, but I'm not.
It's weird.
That's a really, it's done all the time, though. People do it all the time. They really have a hard time coming out because of their family, the expectations of their family, of their friends, and just society is still, I mean, we have a lot of laws changing, in America, in marriage laws and things, but not everywhere,
Yeah, well, particularly in the Black community, I think that is one of the last areas where that homophobia still needs to, release that grip on the shame about it with Black men, I think is still, one of the last areas where it needs to loosen up. And Black men, from what I know, from people that I know and things that I've read and research, are more likely to be on the quote-unquote DL because there's that shame still attached to it. So this character, because he's on the DL, does things that probably he wouldn't do if he were honest about his sexuality. And the theme, a lot of the central theme in this story is about trust and how lies affect relationships and dishonesty between people, and what happens when you lie to a friend. You think it's an innocuous thing, it's not going to do, just a little white lie, but actually
a little white lie,
leads to yet another one, which leads to a bigger one, which leads to major consequences. So I try to kind of to weave that in, and I felt that Sean was a great area to do that with. And his,
yeah,
you know,
he's
his
carrying a big
closet.
Burden. Yeah, he's definitely carrying
a
burden. I mean, he's not just lying about his being in a closet. He's lying about his dreams and desires. And I think that is a battle amongst all the many characters, the main one. And then now let's talk about what could you read a little bit from some of the book? Do you have a section maybe you could read?
I do. I have it on my Kindle here. And I wish I had my hard copy.
I know, right? Isn't that, I love the paper still.
I do too. It would be easier to flip to the chapter.
Chapter
that
well,
I would
that's
like
okay.
to read.
That's okay.
It's quite
you find
a wait.
It?
I can keep looking because I'm pressing.
Okay, well, you look. We'll keep talking. I'll keep talking because I want to tell people I'm going to be giving away some copies of your book. So they want to follow me at Joy Keys and become a fan on Facebook to get a free copy of The Unraveling of B.B. Jones.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah, definitely. You know, and I think it's a great book. And as I mentioned earlier, I can't wait till the next one comes out. A lot of juicy characters. You have a really hot, steamy homosexual sex scene in the book, which was like, whoa, I'm too young for this.
In the castle.
Should there be a warning on here? I don't know. Just my mom, I shouldn't read this one. Somebody's walking by. Yeah, I blushed a little bit, I have to say. But it was great. That's okay. Just have a little warning, like on a little bottom, like in size 7 font. Beware, page 200 and something, you know.
Just put a little lacy there.
Yeah, but that's good.
Right.
We need that. Yeah, we need that. Now, the young lady, she's totally enamored with BB Desiree. She's totally enamored, and she finds out a lot of truths. That everything she believes is not necessarily true, and then some good things she learns about herself. I think also it's not all negative. I mean, she's just trying to make it, like many of us are, and you make a lot of compromises when you're trying to make it. I think she made a lot of compromises in this book to try to get just paying her bills, student loans. That's a big problem nowadays, student loans with young people.
Yes, it is. It was a problem for me, and it did make a huge difference in what I chose to do. You know, it had me so it was like a yoke around my neck. And I know for so many young Americans who are, graduating from uni, and they're going out into the world with, you know, $250,000 in debt, and how that is allowed to happen is another thing that I just find mind-blowing, that we can allow our young people to go into the world. And what does that do? All that does is it just forces you into working like a dog to pay it off. You know what I mean?
And you can't enjoy your life. That. You can't.
You cannot. And you can't do the things that you want because you've got this thing hanging over your head that you have to pay off. And for Desiree, she took work and lied to get work because she's motivated by needing to make money so she can pay off these debts, you know. And, of course, the banking crisis happens, which makes it worse. So all of this is set at the height of that whole GFC, and everyone's desperate, and she's desperate, and she needs money. So she herself lies to get this job that she's even qualified for, you know?
No. You have some funny things, too. I want to admit you have some funny things. One of the things is Sean has a theory about, I pulled up some stuff on my Kindle, too, here, that Sean had a theory about women's passion for bags. His idea was that having a vagina was the reason women went nuts for handbags or receptacles, as he put it, because in essence, vaginas are like receptacles. So I thought that was what? This is crazy. So that was really cute, you know.
I think there's some truth to that. I think women love, they love handbags and baskets. I know I certainly do. Look, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I have, if you come to my house, my daughter laughs at me. She has counted all the baskets in my house, and I probably have 75 or something just scattered.
Wow.
And purses. And I think there's something about receptacles, you know, because we are naturally kind of, we receive, you know
what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get it.
So that was just a theory that had been, yeah, so there you go. I won't get too graphic, you know, you know what I'm getting at. So I sort of throw that in the book. And I did find a chapter. Whenever you're ready, I can read a little bit from it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is chapter 16, and the title is "Here is the Mother, Here is the Father, Both of Them Happy and Good." And before I go ahead, I just wanted to point out that the chapter titles are part of the children's book that BB writes in the novel. I don't know if you remember, she writes the children's book. It's How She Meets Desiree, and some of the chapter headings are taken directly from her children's book. You know, it's very simple.
I noticed that. And also you have a soundtrack. You have a soundtrack, which we can talk about later. But go ahead. You read.
So that children's book is also available. I've also produced that. It's going to be available shortly. But we'll talk about that later. I'll read from the first couple pages of this. So Desiree awoke to the harsh, shrill sound of Bibi's voice echoing down the hallway. The clock on her bedside table read nearly midnight. She sat up in bed and tilted her head to get a better listen. Bibi and Magnus were fighting again. She slipped out of bed and snuck down the hallway to the edge of the stairs, which was just on the other side of the office where Magnus and Bibi were. It was dark in the little stairwell, with only the dim light from beneath the office door. Desiree pressed her ear to the wall, but heard only muffled voices. Then suddenly, Bibi raised her voice. "I don't understand what the goddamn big deal is. Why don't you do it, Magnus? Why?" She sounded at the end of her rope. "I told you why," Magnus shot back. They were quiet for an instant, and then Magnus spoke again. Desiree could hear the cadence of his British accent, deep, oddly polite but firm, a voice not to be ignored or crossed. Bibi said, "What is it going to take with you, Maggie?" "Don't call me that." "F you, Maggie." "Oh, that's lovely, Bee. Very classy." Bibi said something about the children that Desiree couldn't hear clearly. Muffled voices carried back and forth, and then Magnus exploded. "Jordan, the son you claim is mine, he is a bastard. He's not my son." "How can you say that? How can you say that to me? How can you be so ugly?" There was another moment of silence. "Well," Bibi insisted. Desiree thought she could hear Bibi's voice quiver. "What, it's one of your whores, isn't it? One of your effing housekeepers. Which one is it? Which house?" "Oh, do shut up." "Don't tell me to shut up. What is wrong with you, Magnus?" "Hey, no you don't. Come back here. Get back here." "Stop it, Bibi. Let go of me." Desiree heard a sudden thud, followed by something hard hit the wall. Magnus shouted at Bibi to stop. There was the sound of a struggle and then another spell of silence, after which Bibi began to cry. And I'll stop there.
Wow. I mean, that's a tough, when I read that he didn't think the son was his, I was like, what? And I'm like, you have no scenes of her with any other men, not even like staring at another man. I'm like, where did this come from out of the blue? You know, that's a tough
You'll find out in later seasons, I should say.
Yeah, I guess we will, because I'm waiting with yeah, but she was, I really pained for her, and I really pained for Sean, the character Sean. I'm waiting for Desiree to, I think she's going to have some big moments. She had a few, she got to meet her star, and she got to work for her, but I'm itching to see what's next for her, because I could see her kind of turning into a Bibi Jones almost, even though she may not want to, but, like, that's always been her fantasy, this character, and maybe she hasn't gotten that fantasy out of her system yet. I don't know. I'm just putting things out there.
Well, no, that's good. You're very observant. You've picked up on some cues, you know, so I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, there's a lot more in store for her, and the plot definitely thickens. And I'm hoping
go ahead. What were you
going to
say?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, there might be a delay, because This is a moment of silence, so I'm waiting for you to speak, and I'm sure that you're waiting too. There's always a little delay. But what I was going to say was that I'm hoping, you know, this was my first debut. It's my first novel, and it took me many years to work it out and to figure out how the story was going to play out. And of course, you know, my second one, I'm hoping that one, you know, obviously will improve upon the first and just be stronger. So each one will have just a deeper kind of understanding of the characters, and the plot will definitely thicken and everyone will come back. So you really follow all of these people. So if I've introduced someone in the first, you'll see them in the second. You know, Dr. Novak comes back and the children and their roles increase in the next one, and you really get a sense of where their lives are after all of this in the first one. So,
well, I think it'll be great. I definitely enjoyed the book. I'm going to be giving away copies of the book, like I said, so people should follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys so that you can win a copy of her book. And I want you to come back definitely a year from now or 18 months when you come out with the next book. Now, when's the children's book coming out? Is that coming out before the second novel?
It is. It's going to be out actually in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And the children's book is by B.B. Jones and illustrated by Jasmine Jones, and it's appropriate for ages 0 to 5. And basically, it is the text that, you know, that you see in the novel at the beginning of the book, the book that brings B.B. and Desiree together in the first place. And that will be released in a couple of weeks, and it will also include...
Is it going to be in French? Are you going to put it out in French? You should put it out in, like, French and also English.
Well, it's very easy. I do have it translated in French, and I am planning to do it in French as well, but so far I've just done the English version. So it's all these layers. You know, the whole project is about experimenting and trying new things and having a soundtrack, because I really wanted, like I said, if I could write a television series, this is what I would write.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I could totally see it being
series. Yeah, and look, it may never get to that, but it's nice to have it, you know, to be able to get it out of my system and just see how it goes, see where it takes me, you know, or where it ends up. And I thought it'd be fun to have a soundtrack with each one and to see, you know, what I can do with this family and how much I can grow them.
Well, I wish you much success, like I said, with this one and the next. You were featured in Essence magazine, and that's actually what triggered my attention to you. So I was like, oh, I need to talk to her. Like, who is this person? Interesting.
So I
reached out to you, and I appreciate you accepting the offer to come on the show this morning and stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my God. Thank you. I'll be giving away copies.
You.
Oh,
no,
follow
you.
I want to follow you, Roger Augustin, on Twitter. Also, she has a website, rogeraugustin.com, so you can learn about her upcoming projects, the children's book, and also the second novel. You'll be able to keep an eye out for that. It's all there. Okay, well, merci, mon ami, pour avec moi. I can't remember that.
Très bien, oui. Avec plaisir, merci beaucoup.
Enchanté.
Yes, same here. Thank you so much, Joy. It was a real pleasure. And
okay.
I'm really glad that you found the book, and thanks for the support.
You have a wonderful Saturday evening. Get some rest, and I'll be chatting and tweeting with you at another time, okay?
Definitely. Thank you, Joy. You too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Au revoir.
Okay, bye. Au revoir. Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got on the phone with author Roger Augustin talking about her book, The Unraveling of B.B. Jones. You got to get a copy. If you want a free copy, you follow me at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. I hope you guys have a wonderful Saturday. And next Saturday, we'll be talking about fracking and the energy crisis here in America and what we should do. So tune in next Saturday, August the 10th at 11 a.m. Eastern, to learn more about that subject matter. Have a great Saturday. Bye-bye.